Even it now. Since I got married, I'd believed in it before, but I didn't practice it, they say religiously. But when I met Cindy, she was so gung-ho about tithing. And I hooked up with her. And guess what? It's been a blessing over the years, because that's the way God enables us to be able to get through this life with a blessing upon it. Our giving and upon our sowing and making a way for us. So it says over in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, it said, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Storehouse is where you're fed spiritual food. How many of you receive good spiritual food here at Faith City Church? Amen. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, says the Lord of hosts. So the Lord is saying this. He's the one who said it. He said, you go ahead and bring your tithe. The tithe is a percentage of whatever comes into your house. If a dollar comes in, guess what? The Lord says, exercise your faith and give 10 cents. And again, this tithing business was way before Moses brought it in the law. Abraham was the greatest man of faith that ever lived. God said, you're going to have a baby, and he believed it, and we follow his example to this day. Later on, Moses came, and then Jesus talked about the tithe, but he said, don't forget about mercy and about some other things as well. And so the tithe is for today, but you don't have to be all bound up with it and be all condemned about it. If you're not there, guess what? Keep reading the scriptures. Keep believing God. Know that God's going to make a way. I know my dad didn't believe in tithing. He didn't believe in much. But guess what? My mom was a tither, and she tithed a certain portion of whatever came to her. So you want to have peace in the home. And so you go ahead and talk to God, and you see what he has to say about concerning your finances. You're more excited about your finances than anybody else. I tell you that you're more concerned about it. I could care about Bill, but guess what? Bill cares more about himself than I care about Bill, because that's just, and we thank God for what God has revealed to us. So it says here, bring the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, therewith says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you windows of heaven, here's a blessing, and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be a room enough to receive, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Everybody say, rebuke the devourer. So God's going to rebuke the devourer. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have tests and trials. There's things that happen in our lives that you say, well, why? I'm a tither. Yeah, we're a tither. But guess what? It could be a lot worse. And so when we tithe, bless God, God is opening the windows of heaven. He's providing a means. I know our washing machine went out a few times, but thank God that we had insurance on it, or whatever we had on it, and fixed it a few times. But guess what? The things are rebuked. And there was one thing. I gave a dishwasher away. Anybody need a dishwasher? It was a stand-up dishwasher. The year was 1988, maybe. And my friend needed a dishwasher. And no, I guess it wasn't 88. I don't know when it was. But anyways, we went and bought this dishwasher. We brought it in his house. You know, he had that thing, I would say, close to 20 years, and the thing has never broke down. And finally, he renovated his kitchen, and they put in one that's built in. And I said, wow, that thing lasted a long time. And he says, well, because a pastor brought it to my house, he said. I wasn't even really a pastor. But anyways, he was excited about it, and it worked. Amen? So thank God for tithes and for offerings, and the devourer is rebuked for your sakes when you go ahead and go according to God's principles. So let's lift up our hands. Let's thank God that he's rebuking your stuff, that stuff that the enemy wants to destroy in your life. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that our stuff is blessed. Our stuff is secure because we are tithers. According to Malachi, we thank you that we bring the tithes into the storehouse, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to give, and that the opportunity that you've blessed us with those finances. And thank you that as we sow, then those blessings come in line with your word, that the devourer is rebuked, and also there's room enough, more than enough, to receive it. And so we just want to say thank you with humble hearts, saying that you're our provider, you're our supplier, and we give back to you in accordance with your word. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you sow and give whenever you see that receptacle. Well, Pastor, let's see what happens tonight. Amen.
Praise God. We're on the same team here.
You got to get Pastor Steve one.
Yeah. Where's Pastor Steve? We're going to go out to GQ. What is that place called? Get a shirt at the store this weekend. We're going to get you one for your anniversary, praise God. We can try to find one just like it. I know you want to be on the team. Well, how's everybody doing? And the happy anniversary to the wonderful couple. We have a gift from heaven. They're such a wonderful blessing. They brought with them all their children. There's going to be one more coming very, very soon. And I'm trying to prepare the other little one. I said, you're not going to be the baby in the family anymore. So, and try to calm him down first. He's acting like a baby. He is a baby, but we need to tell him, calm him down first. And I guess your mom and dad are coming this Friday. Mom and dad, if you're watching, we're waiting. And they're going to be coming, and the house has been sold. Praise God. Amen. Sold their house. They're looking for a house, and they might build. Who knows what's going to happen next? Praise God. The Newfoundlanders are taking over. Praise God. We have Finlanders, not the Newfoundlanders. We got everybody, and Ojibways as well. Are you OG Cree? Yeah? Okay. Then you're not one of us. Praise God. They have a new edition, right? You guys have a new one? And what's her name? Deline? Aline? Alina, okay. It's your accent that really is bothering me tonight. OG Cree, yeah. Can you tell me in Ojibwe what that means? No? So I've heard also there's a little Jenny, 16. Is Jenny here? Jenny's back there, sweet 16. And 16 is so special, the most special you can ever find. So Jenny, I'm going to have to find you something to give you. I don't have my wallet tonight, but I have it, such as I have given to you. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. We'll get you something later on. But we have something special for Pastor Steve. And we couldn't have a cake because, you know, with all the contamination and all that cross, everything like that. So we can't give you a cake tonight, Pastor Steve. And don't cry. We'll get it to you when it's over. And we'll give. Actually, we have a cake for you. We will give it to you after we take our portion. So you're going to be taking a cake home tonight for sure, though. And I'm told also Flo is in the house, and she has a birthday as well. And she's also 16. She is beautiful. 16 years young. Forever young, right? So we're going strong tonight, man. There's all kinds of happenings going on. People building houses, tearing down walls. I mean, everything's going on. So anyway, I hope you got your Bibles tonight. It's 7:26 today, right now. So I'll just have you know, I'm not going to finish this message. So we are actually in the study. We did part one of a 26-part lesson. And so we will go to our scripture from last week. This is a topic on faith studies. Last week we did one of this. So I'm just going to reiterate some of the things that I catch you up. Our title is called Patient to the End. Patient to the End. And go to Matthew 10:22. And we're going to take the principle out of there and show you about being patient. And so Matthew 10:22 says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my namesake." Now he's talking to his own people. He's talking to the Jewish people. And this stuff, these are end time stuff. Like, it's, you know, there's things going to happen in Israel. Different things going to happen prophetically. And even now there's things happening, or in his day even. But he said, "You shall be hated for all men for my namesake, but he that endures to the end." What happens to the man that endures? The word endures means to be patient, to be long-suffering. shall be saved. And the word saved has other meanings besides being born again. And so we'll look at that in a moment. But I want to give you Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Well, weary means being tired, being tuckered out. And weariness is not good if you're, you know, believing for something. If you're too weary, too overburdened with trying to keep up and a good face, and you don't have faith, it's not a good place to be. And the Bible says, be not weary or tired, tuckered out. Because people can be, when they're waiting for something, you could get tired holding on. For in due season, we shall reap. So that's a positive. So you might be weary, you might feel weary. And the Bible shows us that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul talking to the Galatians, saying, let us not be weary in well-doing. It's a fact that they were doing something and they were getting tired. So sometimes people get tired of doing the good thing, doing the same thing over again. And he says, we shall reap. You know, you're going to reap the good from your labor. If we faint not, again, people faint. People quit. People give out. People let out. And it's amazing. You might feel like quitting, but the Bible says you don't have to quit. You can reap when you're having a hard time. And maybe you've been standing on a healing for a long time, months, maybe years even, until you make the connection. And thank God you don't have a sickness that will kill you in 6 months if you've been waiting for a long time. And I tell people, Brother Hagin used to tell us, listen, feed yourself faith and healing on a regular basis. Feed yourself regularly. Read something on faith and healing every day, every night. Read something during the daytime. Get a scripture and read it, because he said someday you're going to need it for yourself or someone in your family. Someday you're going to need it. You might not need it right now, but build your faith up so that when it happens, you're ready for it. You're ready to build, believe God. So we said sometimes, our whole point of the message was sometimes you're going to have to wait a little bit longer than you want to. Sometimes you're going to have to wait a little bit longer than you want to or that you thought you might wait. So patience is a virtue. It's something that we must develop. God gives us something. We must all develop in order to get what we want in life. It takes time to develop things. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen overnight. And there's things that I've had projects for, faith projects. Everybody say faith projects. Some of them are more important to you. Some of them are physical faith projects. Sometimes they're financial projects. Sometimes they're relational projects. Sometimes they're just things that you need to do in life. They're goals. So we need to learn how to stand until something happens. So we said the Bible says that we receive the promises of God, that by faith these promises can come to pass in our lives. It says here in Hebrews chapter 11:33, the New Living Translation says, by faith these people, he's talking about those faith people over in chapter 11. Chapter 11 talks about, it's a faith chapter, and there's a hallmark of witnesses or heroes of faith are mentioned in there. You can see a number of people are cataloged for us, itemized for us, their names. And it says, by faith, these people of faith people, who, it says here, they overthrew kingdoms. In other words, they were able to be successful in their battles over other kingdoms as was coming against them. They ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. Everybody say, receive what God has promised. So it was by faith they received what God had promised them. So it takes a while to get a promise in. So any promise the Bible talks about, you can receive that by faith right now. You can receive it by faith right now. I don't mean that it's going to manifest in a second, because your faith has to take a hold of stuff and has to run with patience. Okay, so thank God for the Holy Spirit. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge Him, and He's the teacher. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You said He would show us things to come, and we acknowledge Him, and we give way to our lives to Him. We thank You for His ministry here through the power that You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says we need patience to assist us in our faith in order to obtain these promises. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about what faith and patience will do for us when we're trying to receive the promises of God. And we said to you last time, we said faith, or at least patience, is much devalued in our society because everything is fast. Everything is instant. Everything is quick. And we want our bank to send us the money now. We want the coffee to come in quickly, the chicken to arrive before you got home. I mean, everything. We want it all now, don't we? And so people get impatient, and they quickly run to another store, or they want to go to another bank, or whatever it is. And so they run away from where they were. So Hebrews 10:36, New Living Translation says, "Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised." Notice that promises come after a certain time. And it doesn't happen, a promise doesn't happen automatically. It takes some time, right? It takes some time. So what does patient mean? Let's talk about that again. One meaning of patient, it means endurance. You know, runners and people who are athletic need endurance. It takes time. You can ask different ones who've been in athletics. It means that you can stand. Patience means that you can stand or stay right where you are no matter what may come to pass. You're not going to move. If you have the promise of God, you know the promise of God, you're not going to move. Having patience means that you will stand unwaveringly without weakening under stress or, what is that called? But moving ahead, you're going to move ahead steady and strong. You're not going to get weaker, you're going to get stronger. Patience, when you have patience, it means you're going to stay, you're going to move on ahead. You're not going to get any weaker. You're not going to like, "Help me!" You're just giving up. So it means to abide under pressure. It means to abide under pressure no matter what. It means to be persistent and to persevere under any kind of thing that's happening. It means the quality of not surrendering to any kind of circumstance that might be contrary to what you're believing God for. It means the quality of not succumbing under any kind of trial. You're not going to get weak under the pressures of trials, and because you're in faith and you're with patience to carry you through. So what happens between believing and receiving? There's a time slot between, there's a period between believing and receiving. Let's go to Mark chapter 11 and verse, or we have Mark 11, 23. Let's read maybe to 26. Mark chapter 11, 23 says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," so he's telling us that we are speaking to the mountain, not about the mountain, how big it is and how gigantic it is and how hard it is. We don't even talk about that mountain in that particular spirit. He said, whoever shall say unto this mountain," in other words, you're going to speak to the mountain, is speaking to your problem. Speaking to your mountain means you're going to speak to your problem. "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea." Be thou removed means, you don't want it there. You don't want this, whatever it is, that's in your way. "Be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe," that is, believe in his heart, "that those things which he said," in other words, what you say, "shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever you say." So faith is like speaking out the word, speaking out the promise, believing that it's going to come to pass. And so you notice that he shall have, or it shall come pass, He shall have whatsoever he said. Now the word shall have is future tense. Shall have means somewhere along the line, this is going to manifest. But notice he said, you shall believe those things which he said. You have to believe. So notice in verse 24 about the prayer section. Therefore I say to you that what things soever you desire, when you pray, the moment you're praying, what does he do? You believe, you receive. So the moment you're praying, you're going to believe that you receive whatever you're asking God for. So if you're going to ask God for something, you're going to pray. At that very moment, you have to believe the promise of God. You're going to have to believe in your heart that I received that promise. So after you pray, you ask yourself, did I receive that promise? If you say, oh man, I hope so. Then then you never did it in faith. And that here's a problem, because a lot of people like that, they do that because they come for prayer and you lay hands on them. And they might have a really serious illness that would cause them death, a very serious illness that would cause them a lot of trouble and pain. And you lay hands on them. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing, be healed. And you turn to them and look at them. You say, did you receive? They look at you with a weary look and say, no, well, I hope so. I might. I'm going to see if anything happens. I didn't feel anything. So it's not about that. So you have to believe you receive now. And you shall, that's future tense, have them. Have, you're going to possess what you ask God for. So there's a time lapse between believe that you receive, and the time that you shall have. There's a time slot in there. So what is it that you do between that time slot, and how you react to contrary situations? And if you give up and quit during the time when you're just getting around the corner, a circumstance like we gave you those we look at your I give you various meanings about what it means to be patient. If it's to come under a trial, come under certain contrary circumstances, looking at that, and you start to quit, and it's too hard, and you're looking at your body, you're looking at your pill bottle. Even if you're taking medicine right now, just say, thank God, take that medicine, take it down, say, praise God for my healing. If you're trying to quit eating food, go to that fridge and you're eating that little piece there, say, thank God, I'm losing weight. Just say it. Thank God you put out that butt there, buddy. Say, thank God I quit my cigarette smoking. Don't lie. You don't lie to yourself, because people say, I hate to smoke. No, you don't. You love it. That's why you do it. I used to be like that. I smoke like a pack and a half a day. No problem. Just package a day. Just love it. Just my flesh loved it. So I had to be honest with myself about get honest before God and say, I'm going to quit this. I love it, but I want to quit because it doesn't look good on a pastor. Huh? I don't want anybody to take an example from me that I smoke. Put you in bondage. And so today I smoke by myself. No, I'm just kidding. I don't smoke. It's been how many years now? Since 1987 I quit. I quit before that. So I got out of fellowship a little bit. When you're out of fellowship, it's easy to smoke. Very easy to smoke, but the closer you get to God, it's hard to smoke and say, hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Lord. You know, it's very hard to smoke when you're doing that, right? Or give glory to God, eating a bucket of chicken in bed. You know? It's hard to give glory to God, right? Where's that manic, you know? Huh? So you got to learn how to praise God somehow. So, you know, this is comical, but You know, you need to start somewhere. And so thank God. You say, thank God, brother, I'm telling you, I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of myself. Because we've been there. A lot of us might not have smoked. They might have eating cheese every night. Whatever it is. Ernie, we talk about Ernie. He's constantly eating chicken. So we're helping him. But I've been helping. You know, he gave me $40 the other day. Tell me to go to the chicken stand. He did. I saw him at the store, right, Ernie? You handed me $40, yeah? What did I do to it? I went and bought my own chicken. I cooked it the way I wanted to. So, Ernie, thank you for that $40. We'll get it back to you some other time. But so there's a time lapse. What do you do between the time lapse? And so it's up to you. You know, you have to get a hold of something. It's everybody's faith is not the same here. Just like some people can run a mile. I don't think I can run a mile right now. I might try. I probably could run, but it's going to be very slow. Different things, you know, like doing push-ups. I remember I started doing push-ups. I could do just almost 7, just really barely. But, you know, you do it more and more, the better you become at it. Like different things. So it takes time to build up resistance and strength. And it's hard to resist your flesh and to get over that. So the Bible tells you what helped me the most is realizing that I had power and authority over my flesh. That I can say no to a piece of pie. Like I don't have to eat the whole thing. I can eat a piece. And you know, somebody might need this tonight, I don't know, but if you're going somewhere, so. Anyway, I'm just saying that people often pray for something, and when things don't change immediately, they give up. The Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved or shall be delivered. So you can't quit because things don't change immediately. Some people give up in fear or in disappointment because something's not changed right away. So there's that time lapse between the manifestation and when you made the request. First, you have to believe. That's the first thing you have to do, believe. Believe that you received them. When you believe you received them, it means you don't have it physically yet. You don't have it yet. Believe that you received. Why would you believe if you got something? You don't need to believe. You have it. Believe that you received. All you have to do is believe that you received. Well, how do you do that? You believe it on the base. You trust and rely on the base of the promise of God. You said, this is what I have. Devil, this is what the Bible says. This is what I have. It belongs to me. I receive it right now. And the devil come and tease you and tell you, you don't have it. Look at this, look at that. He said, I'm not paying attention to what I'm looking at. I'm paying attention to the Bible. Stay in the Spirit, people. Brother Aiken used to tell us, stay in the Spirit and you'll win the battle every time. So, believe that you receive. You have to believe now and you shall have. So, there's a future tense in that. So, what do you do after you pray for something? Mark 11:24 says, believe that you received. You must act like God heard you, that he's answered your request. Just based on, you know, first John chapter 5, and I think verses 14 and 15. Let's look at that verse of scripture if you can pull it up for me. I know I didn't give you that verse, but 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And we're going to show you that there. So, because this is about believing and when you're praying, there's a time lapse there. So, this is the confidence that we have in him. So the word confidence is actually talking about faith, because faith gives you that confidence. If you look at the Amplified Bible, it tells you about faith. It's the confidence. So this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the kind of faith, you know, faith is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will. So what is his will? So his will is the word of God. Anything the promises say, that's the will of God. So if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So you know that if you're going to ask something according to that promise, he's going to hear you. You're on the right track. So go to the next one. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, based on the promise of God, we know that we have received the petitions, in other words, our requests that we have desired of Him. So this is what we're talking about. You can use that, and as far John, you know, he's been taught by Jesus. He was there with Jesus. That's why he can write this way. He went to the same school as Peter did. And those guys, right? They were taught their hands-on with him. So you must act like what you heard or what you know of the Bible, and act like it's true. Well, you don't throw your pills away. You don't throw your cane away. You don't throw your eyeglasses away. No, you just act like, thank God, you know? I mean, things start happening. Watch this. No, I can survive without my glasses. I don't have any disease in my eyes. I could read better without my glasses. You know, in fact, for me, I started wearing glasses when I was a teenager. I didn't have to wear glasses at that point, and then I got used to them. And I, at one point, I didn't even believe that I should actually ask God, because I didn't believe I had any disease in my eyes. I don't have any disease in my eyes. You know, except that I'm old now, and when you get older, you need glasses a little bit. Pastor Ken needs them really bad. You need some just a little bit, but he can see he can see a dime way down there. When he's driving on his bike, spins around, comes and gets that dime. That's why you get that term "spin on a dime." He actually invented that. So, I can see better with these. So you must start speaking and talking as though you have it right now, even though you don't have it yet. Act like you got it. So you must see or envision yourself with the answer according to what the scripture or the promises said. So you're basing your believing and having based on the promises of God. So God always, you always have to give God praise for the answer. You have to say, thank God I have what I asked God for. Yeah. So you have to ask God what you're believing for. Now you're coming in clear now. So people always tell different things, about different things. I know people who threw away their glasses and they had to get new glasses. So throwing your glasses away is not a sign of faith. How many people understand that? Yeah. Throwing your pills away is not a sign of faith. Only if you had faith, and only if you actually had the manifestation right away. So it takes time for some things. Especially if you've been a certain way for a long time, you have to be patient with yourself, because you develop something in yourself to be along a certain line, to be along a certain way. So you have to be patient to the end, like Matthew 22 says, that he that endures to the end shall be saved. So let's go here. When shall we pray? So Galatians 6:9 says, we shall have what we say, or let's go to Galatians 6:9. So let's not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So there's a good portion of the people, according to the scripture, that they fainted and they quit. So they didn't get what they wanted. So why quit? You'll naturally feel tempted to quit at times. There's a due season. It's always not usually when you want it. So there's a waiting to be done. Shall reap means definitely you're going to get what you ask for according to the scripture. So you have to be willing to be patient. Some people think that God forgets like someone else, like a human, other person would do. Forget something. God doesn't forget. Look it over here in Hebrews chapter 10, or 6, 10, 15. Chapter 6, verse 10 and 15. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. So you can't quit. That should be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's just not faith alone that you see that, and you have to sometimes have to have endurance. Not quit. Be patient. It says here, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee and multiply, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he's talking about Abraham, he obtained the promise. Patiently endure, sometimes you're going to have to put up with stuff for a while. You have to put up with different things until the manifestation comes. God told him he's going to receive it, and it says in here that he patiently endured. You ever endure something? It's not easy to endure. Put up with something. Put up with different things. Put up with you have to take those pills every day. You have to eat certain things every day. Listen, don't quit. People try to discourage people that they tell them to quit different things. You'll never get that. You had that all your life. Who do you think you are? No, you've changed your life now. You're with Jesus. You're going to believe the scripture. You know, don't be getting on people. So it says here in verse 35 to 39, let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. Is that what it says? Cast not therefore your confidence, which had great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience. So, we see these scriptures here. So, it's just not just faith, but just it's faith and patience. Perseverance means not giving up or quitting. It means you have to stay in faith in order to win and be patient while you're doing it. It's easy to quit. They say, have that stick-to-itness. So in 2 Peter says, add to your faith patience. Add to your faith patience. And so we need to be patient when something happens. So like when you think about an oak tree, it doesn't happen overnight. You plant a tree, it takes some time. You say, I'm going to plant this tree, watch tomorrow. All of a sudden grows up. No, it doesn't happen that way. An oak tree doesn't grow overnight when you plant it. It takes some time. You know, it's like you see that in movies and things grow fast. So, how do you get things from God? It's through faith and patience. Casting not away your confidence means you're not going to quit, according to Hebrews 10, 35, 39. Here's a problem that people have when it comes to believing God. They set a time limit to God. They set a time limit. I'm going to have this. Lord, you have to do this in a certain time. No, you don't tell God what to do. He's not your genie. You know, he's not going to say, God, I'll tell you what, I need you to do this right away by 4 o'clock today, or else I'm quitting. Well, I guess you're going to be quitting. You're not going to boss God around. And that's what people have. They get mad. You know, some people run with the faith message and they do stuff like this, and then they get mad at us because they think we teach this. A lot of the stuff people accuse us, word faith people, is we never taught it that way. Brother Hagin never taught stuff like this. He taught us to be patient. A lot of the stuff, like all the stuff they talk about money and all that, Brother Higgins said, hey, if if you know, you need to believe God. If God's going to tell you to do something, be sure that God told you to do something. Then the money will come. Don't just say, I'm going to do this, and just ask God for the money. You got to know God called you to do it. But, you know, I mean, of course, your own needs, you can believe for your own needs anytime. And how much you believe, how much you get is according to your faith. What you believe about it. And you need to examine yourself where you're at. Like, everybody's at a different pace in life. We're all not going to be at a certain level. So, don't put a limit. It's dangerous to set a time limit. When God shows you, even when God shows you something about what you're going to be getting, don't say, I'm going to set a time limit on it. God might show you something, but it might not be in your time. Just believe on the scripture. Let him do the time. Like, you know, let the manifestation come. You have to be patient. You know, this is where people miss God, is that they become impatient. He did say you have to endure, and he did say you have to persevere with some things, some projects that you're believing. So, over, you know, in Hebrews 12, the next chapter, Hebrews, or the faith chapter, 11 there, and verse chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, it says, wherefore, seeing that we're so encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's those patients, that's those people. Here's what he says there, that we're right now, this scripture gives us this idea. Look at here. Wherefore, seeing that we're also encompassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we run with patience. It says in there that you and I, all of us here that are here right here right now, that we have a cloud of witnesses in heaven. Did you know the Bible says that people in heaven know what's going on with you spiritually, what's happening, not your natural. They don't say, oh, you got a nice sweater. So, but not like that. It's talking about the things about God. People in heaven know about your race that's going on. They don't know everything. So they can understand something. It says that over here. Wherefore, seeing that we're encompassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. So it tells you that some of you need to lose weight. You know, it talks about weights, right? So weight and sin. So we are, listen, all of us have weights we have to get rid of. Seriously, not. I'm just talking about fat. I'm just talking about weights in life that you're carrying on unnecessarily. You got projects and you're doing different things. You're using your faith for different things when you should be doing the thing that God told you. Remember, Brother Hagin was having problems with a certain somebody that died, and he was just thinking about it all the time. Why did they die? And, you know, we prayed for them. He was just all bothered by it. The Lord said to him, he said, it's none of your business. Did you see in my word, in Deuteronomy 29:29, he says, in my word, the word says that the things belong to you, but the things that belong to God are God's. There's some things that you shouldn't bother with in your mind. And get on to the right thing and use your faith for what you're supposed to use it for and not all this other stuff. Because you're bothered by these weights and things that you're, projects that's going on in your life that you shouldn't be doing. I'm very careful about stuff like that. You know, I get invited to do a lot of stuff. Come here, go to this meeting. Let's go over to India. Let's do this. Let's run there. I said, I'm not called to go to India. I'm sure I'm not called to go and travel anywhere. Even when Mark goes, let him go. That's his job. He's not here. He doesn't want to stick around here and help you. I'm here. And it takes faith to stay here. I'm telling you, it takes faith to stay in this town. You all know that. So, but I said, I'll let you guys, you can go. I mean, that's your faith. And thank God, I'm not going to compare my faith with yours. People say, you're still in Thunder Bay? Yeah, it takes faith to stay here. Where do you go? You know, it does get lonely. It does get a little bit monotonous and it does get cold and all these other things, but you have to stay here. That's why Benny Hinn left Canada. He went down south. Why can't he have a ministry in Toronto? Why does Brother Hickon never come up north? Why do all these people say, if I feel led, I'll come? None of them felt led. They've never felt led to come here. And so if they want to come up here and preach, I said, you come on over. Use your faith and come on over. So we're not going to spend money on you. You didn't spend money on me. Did you call me? So he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So each one of us has projects. Each one of us has faith, things that's going on. But you need to get patient, but be careful that you don't quit. Now look at the rest of that verse of Scripture. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's still talking about faith. How do you look at Jesus? Well, the only way you can look at Jesus, you can't see him physically. The only way you can look at Jesus is look at the Word. He says in here, who for the joy that was set before him, you know what happened to him, right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How many people know that when you're in faith, you have to endure your cross? You're going to have to endure some tough times. It's not always easy. Brother Hagin said, Miss Lynette always used to say, Brother Hagin, all those guys, they always talk about the victory part, but they never tell you about what they went through all the time. It took some tenacity. It took some endurance, right? It takes, everybody is going to go through it. It's not like so easy, you snap your finger, there it is. So don't quit, people. Don't quit. Whatever faith project you have right now, don't quit. I want to encourage you to keep going. So no matter, don't let anybody's talking affect you. Just listen. Pay attention to what it says. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What happened to Jesus? Look what happened to him. He says, who for the joy that was set before him. In other words, he had to look at the cross, but he had to look at the joy over that cross situation, over that difficulty. Yeah, you might be going through a hard time now, but there is a joy ahead of you, folks. Sometimes we talk about the joy. Faith laughs at troubles. There's a laugh in the Spirit, but there's also a laugh of faith. Don't wait for God to move you to laugh at something. You move yourself on the basis of the promises of God. Begin to laugh because of the promises of God so you can endure what you're going through right now. Thank you for that one amen, because it's awesome. I'm encouraged by that one amen. So, it says, despising the shame that is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured. He says that word twice, endured. This is a good word for somebody here tonight, because you're going to have to do some little enduring. You've been having too much little bit of parties back over there. Pastor Ken and I went out for two days in a row. We went out for something to eat. We were eating there and just faring sumptuously. Food flying everywhere, bone, chicken bones, everything. Dry chicken, whatever it is. We're eating and it's just as wonderful, isn't it? But we have to endure a few other things. We endured a lot of things during this time. That $100 was good. $100 later, he says, who's going to pay for this? I said, well, you're going to pay for it. Or we're going to wash dishes. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So we're going to have to look at Jesus a little bit more. Examine this more. And so let's go ahead and close with prayer, because it's 7 minutes after the time we were going to... When did I start? About 35 minutes ago. So thank God for the end of a service. And the beginning of a service. And the end and the middle. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's stand up. And we're going to have to endure a little bit. You guys are enduring. You endured me a little bit, right? You have to put up with me for a while. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So some of you, I endure you every Sunday with a long face. Preach, have to preach through that every time. If it wasn't for that other guy beside you, I would have ran out of here a long time ago. That's why sometimes it's nice to smile at me. You know? Yeah, just go, you know? Every once in a while, do this. Yes, Pastor, that's great. In your mind, said, I wish this service was over. I wish this service was over. When is this going to be over? But you're smiling at me. You're enduring. You learned something tonight, eh? How much did you learn something? Yeah. Grace, did you learn something?
Yeah.
Praise God, that's good. See, she falls out. That means the Holy Ghost is here. This lady is falling out once in a while too. Thank God. Father, we want to thank you so much for faith and patience. And we're not going to succumb to adverse circumstances, but we're going to look at the promise of God and we're going to take joy on that. And we say, thank God the promises said this. And the circumstance says this, but the promises said this. So I choose by faith to celebrate the promises and not celebrate or not celebrate because of the pressure that's coming against me. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we look to the promise regarding if it's healing, if it's relationship issues, if it's finances, if it's work situations, ministry, whatever it is. Father, in the name of Jesus, we look to the promise of God. We said, we receive by faith right now. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
I can receive the promise of God.
I can receive
any promise
by faith
in the promise of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the promises. Say, I'm going to endure. Say, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to glorify Jesus. I'm going to glorify my Lord. If He said it, I believe it. I believe I receive. And I'm going to stand on it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Listen, if you've been watching online, if you never had received Jesus as Lord, this is a great time right now. Jesus died for your sins. The Bible says Jesus died for the ungodly. When we were sinners, He died for us. So, Jesus was sent here. The Son of God was sent to die for your sins. And the Bible said that whosoever believe on Him shall be saved. You just call on the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe in my heart by faith that You are tonight my Lord and my Savior. And if you said that quick prayer, you are now saved. You are now born again. Write to us, call us, and we'll let you know more things about life of faith in Jesus' name. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.